It's The Takeaway. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, filling in for Tanzina Vega, who is reporting in Puerto Rico all this week. When you hear that someone was convicted for drug conspiracy, what comes to mind? Maybe the image of a cash-loaded drug lord or a big-time dealer prone to violence. But inside America's prisons, the people serving time for drug conspiracy crimes are often anything but. Take 59-year-old Craig Cecil.
I believe this with all of my heart, that someone with power, all they have to do is look at my dad's case and say, this is ridiculous.
That is Lauren Cecil. Her father, Craig, was a truck repairman sentenced to life in prison for fixing trucks used by Mexican drug traffickers for marijuana. Craig is one of an estimated dozens of people serving life sentences for marijuana conspiracy, and one of many more thousands serving lengthy or life sentences for nonviolent drug crimes. But in 2014, incarcerated people like Craig learned that they had a chance at freedom. President Obama had launched a clemency initiative for people just like him.
It was like a party, you know, all these people finally were getting out towards the end, and it was just like a celebration, you know, but they weren't calling my dad's name, you know, and it was like, okay, well, maybe at the end. And every list that came out, I just dug my eyes, you know, deep into it. I'm like, it's got to be in here. I must be missing it. And every time it wasn't there.
While more than 1,700 people did get their sentences commuted or reduced, thousands more prisoners, like Craig, were denied or never even had their case reviewed, even though they met Obama's criteria for clemency.
He set out 6 criteria for people. And, you know, basically they were that you didn't commit a violent offense, you didn't have any violence in your background, you had a good record while incarcerated, you didn't have significant criminal history, and if you had been sentenced today, you would have received a different lower sentence.
Rachel Barco is a professor at New York University Law School, and I asked her to explain the charges that land people like Craig behind bars for life.
Our drug laws treat, you know, the kingpin the same as the courier, in the sense that they're all going to be responsible for the same quantity of drugs. So you do see a lot of people in federal prison who served low-level roles in these conspiracies getting hit with tremendously long sentences because, by and large, sentences in the federal system are based on the amount of drugs involved. So when you have these really large quantities of drugs, you know, everybody involved is going to get hit with those very high sentences that are attached to the large quantities. So, you know, you see the girlfriend or the wife that helps out in some small way with the conspiracy, you know, is going to be treated just like the partner that, you know, she was helping.
What would you say was the biggest flaw of Obama's clemency project?
So I would say the number one flaw with the clemency project, and just with federal clemency generally, you know, today and even before President Obama took office, is that the Department of Justice handles clemency petitions. And so it's the same agency that prosecuted all these cases. So we have this very strange setup where we ask the same prosecutors who brought the case and thought the sentence made sense to reevaluate it and say, hey, does it make sense? So it's just inevitable and asking an awful lot of human nature to reevaluate those objectively. It's just inevitable that they're going to say no and deny them in the vast majority of these cases, which they did. Even after the president had said, you know, I really want to do this, you were still seeing prosecutors around the country saying, nope, you know, we don't think this is a good case, and saying, you know, deny.
So part of the problem was that prosecutors didn't want to acknowledge that their original sentences were maybe too harsh or wrong, and the other was just red tape.
Yes, I think that that's right.
Do you know how many people were denied who did meet the criteria?
We have an estimate from the Sentencing Commission, which issued a report on the program. So they interpreted all the criteria very strictly. So, you know, really giving the benefit of the doubt to the government on this one. And they estimated that, you know, there were a little fewer than 2,700 people who met the criteria. And of those, 92 of them received clemency. So about 3.4% got it, you know, which means more than 96% were denied. I do think it's a significant flaw to leave behind all the people who squarely met the criteria, got their hopes up, you know, really their families, their loved ones. People thought, oh, this is finally going to be the chance we're going to get some justice. To have all those people denied is really a tragedy.
And do you know, were there any commutation petitions granted for people who did not meet the criteria?
Yeah, so that same report tried to estimate of the people who got the grants, how many of them met the criteria. And again, you know, interpreting them quite strictly, roughly 5.1% of the people who got it met it.
So, Rachel, what was the real criteria to qualify? Did it come down to luck?
You know, it sure looks like it came down to some luck of the draw. Did your lawyer file your petition on time? Did you get a prosecutor who insisted on saying, no, don't grant this? Did you just catch them on a good day to say grant? Did they think you did something else, even if it's not in your record? You know, we don't really know exactly because the department doesn't have to give any reasons when they deny a petition. And then many people just never got an answer at all. They didn't get a grant or a deny. You know, there's almost 8,000 people who fell into that boat too.
Do you have thoughts on what clemency will look like under Trump compared to Obama?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, we could make some guesses based on what he's done so far. You know, unfortunately, you see that return to who do you know, who are you connected to, where you see, you know, that then it ends up being skewed toward people who have political connections to the president.
Did you mean when you said that the people who get clemency now are people who are well connected? Give me some examples of who you're talking about.
Well, you know, that would be situations like Sheriff Joe, Dinesh D'Souza, people who fit into that box of being the president's supporters and allies who come to his attention for that reason, as opposed to, you know, the many thousands of people anonymous to the president who are serving out these very long sentences for drugs and other offenses.
Rachel Barco, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rachel Barco is a professor of law at NYU Law School. Craig has been in prison more than half of his 30-year-old daughter's life.
He has been in prison for 16 years for a conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute marijuana, and he has a life sentence without the possibility of parole.
But Lauren Cecil's memories of time with her dad are vivid.
My dad was a pilot with his own plane. So when my parents were married, we would fly to Disney, and then even after they got divorced, you know, you have like a split life. And he'd be like, yeah, let's go visit my friends, you know, in this other state and go have dinner with them. And we would just go to the plane and fly there and, you know, pull up in their field and go to dinner and fly home and then have him drive us home and go to school the next day. When I tell people, they're like, that's not real. I'm like, no, like, I actually did that with my dad.
Lauren told me that she doesn't feel her father's punishment even comes close to fitting his crime.
So his job was to fix trucks in general. I mean, he fixed everything. He was like the dad, you know. He would repair the trucks that had ripped out portions that had marijuana transporting from Mexico. So he just repaired the trucks. He literally never saw anything, but he got paid well. And I have letters. He's like, it was for like your college. It was all for you, like me and my brother, you know. So it's just hard.
Craig is one of dozens of people serving life sentences for marijuana charges and one of thousands of people with lengthy sentences for all kinds of nonviolent drug crimes. Craig and thousands of others tried to have their sentences commuted under Obama's clemency initiative that began in 2014. His daughter Lauren remembers when the program was first announced.
People started reaching out to me and said, your dad qualifies for every single one of the criteria that they're looking for. Let's go for this. And it was just extreme chaos. And it was just like, for once, there was hope.
So everyone said that he was a good candidate for this. Tell us a little bit about what made him a good candidate. How did you know he would qualify for this program?
So you had to have no prior convictions because there's a three-strike law. You have to be within that. And he was on good conduct, which means you don't get into fights, you don't cause trouble, any of that. He has none. And he works full-time. He has since he's started.
There was
like five other things. So he works in a factory for Unicor. He does various things. I remember one of his jobs, he's a head of sewing. So they're in this factory all day and they have to sew for the Marines jackets for pregnant women. And they've also had disaster relief blankets. And he does this all day, every day for like less than a dollar an hour.
And so when you found out about this opportunity that your dad had the chance to get his sentence reduced to maybe not spend the rest of his life in prison for a marijuana offense, how did that make you feel?
Even you saying it just like gives me butterflies. I've explained, you know, to people what it's like to not have my dad and where he is. And it's kind of like as if he died because I'd never get to see him again in the way that I want to or the way that I should. When I heard that and had the opportunity, it was like the first time I had this like glittering feeling inside that, oh my God, like I might be able to go to like dinner with my dad. You know, like it sounds so simple. I might be able to go walk down the street with him. I might be able to walk anywhere with him. Man, I would do literally anything to go get ice cream with him, like anything.
So what happened with your dad's application?
So these lists started coming out of people that were getting out, and there were no marijuana lifers. And so we just didn't stop. We kept going. I went to D.C. and was outside the White House with signs. And so his application, I think just things got crazy, and they were focused on more of a lot of crack cases. And I think that his just was overlooked and time ran out.
So did you ever get any kind of explanation?
Absolutely not.
Do you think that there were problems with Obama's initiative?
Oh, absolutely. I know specifically the lawyer that was my dad's just wasn't there and wasn't really helping because Obama, during the Clemency Project, they were all given lawyers to help, but they were all like pro bono. So I just don't think that they helped the way that they could. And I think that the focus was on this sort of mass incarceration for crack. And I think the obvious is marijuana, and it should just be a no-brainer. There are so many people incarcerated for, you know, absurd amounts of time for their cases that just, it doesn't just, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. And I think there was just so many that it just got overwhelming.
You talked about wanting to walk with your dad down the street or to go get ice cream. And I think you've been waiting for your dad to get out to walk you down the aisle as well, right?
As silly as that sounds, yes. My boyfriend and I have been together 12 years. I'm probably the last of my friends, especially that have been in a relationship, that aren't married and now have kids. And people say, you know, when are you going to get married? And I'm like, there is a very silly little girl inside of me that wants my dad to walk me down, as untraditional as I am. But even I went to a wedding about a week ago, and, you know, there's a father-daughter dance. And I feel this, like, lump in my stomach my whole life. I'm just like, I will never have that. Even in movies and everything, I just can't even watch it. I don't know. I don't feel like it would be the same if he wasn't there.
Do you think it'll happen?
I hope with all my heart. And if not, I'm going to Vegas, the drive-thru. so nobody will walk me down. I'll go in the car.
Lauren Cecil, thank you so much for sharing your family story with us.
Thank you for having me. Oh my gosh, this means so much.
Lauren Cecil is the daughter of Craig Cecil, who is serving life in prison on marijuana conspiracy charges. He applied to have his sentence commuted by President Obama, but was denied, even though he met the criteria. With so many cases like Craig Cecil's, some states are now taking things into their own hands.
California voters legalized marijuana in 2016, and as part of that ballot measure, they actually allowed past marijuana convictions to be either reduced from felonies to misdemeanors or for misdemeanors to be dismissed completely.
That's Marisa Lagos, political reporter for KQED in San Francisco.
But most prosecutors haven't moved to do that automatically, and experts say that folks with these kinds of convictions may not know or have the resources to pursue these expungements. So in San Francisco, the district attorney, George Gascon, actually decided earlier this year that he would do it automatically. Other prosecutors haven't followed suit, and so an assemblyman actually introduced a bill this year that was passed and now sits on Governor Jerry Brown's desk. The Drug Policy Alliance says that there are probably about 500,000 people who have these sorts of felonies and misdemeanors just from the years of 2016 to 2015. But as of last year, only 5,000 people had actively gone to court.
What do you think? Should people, particularly those in states where recreational marijuana is legal, be able to clear their marijuana convictions? Tweet us at The Takeaway or join the conversation on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sarah Gonzalez in for Tanzina Vega while she's reporting in Puerto Rico this week. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.